Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome again here on Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. It's a real pleasure to welcome Eshell Lee from Essentials, based in California. Eshell, how are you this morning?
I'm doing terrific. Very, very well, Zara. Thanks.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you with us, and it's a great timing, too, with our guest just prior before from Tehonichul Park, because Eshell as well is in a very different sort of career, I'll call it, but one that's very expansive and crosses a lot of disciplines. Let me give her an introduction. She's a healer, a visionary author, and teacher who uses her intuitive gifts like a master artist to blend alchemical wisdoms, share spiritual healing, and create botanical aromatics or healing perfumes for individuals globally. Eshell has explored metaphysics and nature's abundant healing gifts from an early age. She's also studied with spiritual masters and shamans from a wide variety of traditions and cultures on a worldwide basis. She's the author of a 2001 book, Aromatic Alchemy, Recipes for Transformation, and Eshell has been a published writer in both the United States and the United Kingdom since 1986. She's currently working on her memoir, The Soul Masala, Eternally, Forever, Always. It's called The Fragrant Alchemist by a London beauty editor. Eshell was named one of the top complementary therapists by British Vogue and has promoted lifestyles of health and sustainability for, frankly, decades, donating as well some of her profits from her products to organizations that support sustainable oceans and regenerative growing practices. So where do we start? My goodness.
I'm overwhelmed, too.
Don't you love that when you get that backward-looking perspective?
Goodness.
Well, now, yes. Based in California, but your work obviously touches around the globe, and certainly your products that you sell, as well as the consulting and healing work, that you've been across a variety of cultures. Are some more receptive to this type of alternative healing work, Eshell, than others?
Yes, actually they are, Zara, which is interesting. India, for example, is very receptive. They had called me a couple of years ago, and I went over last year and spent 6 months there. They had specifically asked me to come and do the healing work and the fragrances, the healing perfumes. So I think because of their deep spirituality that runs throughout the entire culture, even though it takes different expressions with different religions, mm-hmm. they are very open. And in England, it's a little bit more open than here. And that's interesting because basically, you know, the United States, since it had become invaded by the British Empire, most of our sensibilities, our language certainly, comes from England. But they were a little bit more open to embracing complementary, alternative, even, you know, the spiritual healing practices that would include intuition or hands-on healing.
That's right. Well, perhaps we should start right with the whole area of your perfumes and the scents. How is what you do or what you provide different from what people might buy in conventional Western stores?
In most of the department stores, at this point still, perfumery is made up from synthetic scents or synthetic fragrances that are blended together that basically have been created in a laboratory. Mm-hmm. So the initial difference is that everything that I use in my perfumery is natural from the botanical kingdom primarily. And that's the main difference. Now, there's a lot of artisanal or artisan perfumeries that are starting to crop up all over the world, I think. And yet, even most of those, the biggest percentage, will use some naturals and some synthetics because it really is very difficult to create a perfume that smells absolutely delicious like what we're familiar with from department stores, from all pure naturals. So that would be the one way that it's different. The other is that when I create perfumery, the intention of every fragrance or scent that I've ever created for over 30 years, whether it's for a product line or an individual or branding for a company like the Golden Door, it has a healing aspect and a focus, and I come from that place first, and the base of what I do comes from naturals. So those are probably the two basic ingredients, so to speak, that makes a difference.
And so when you say an intention for a fragrance, do you mean, for example, in your mind or in your own personal gifts, you're thinking about a fragrance that will help people with sleep disorder, for example? Is that what you mean?
Yes. So, for example, I have a collection that I've had for about 15 years, and it has names such as vitality, tranquility, sensuality. So that I come up with, okay, I want this fragrance to hold this energy or to have these healing properties. And when I work with an individual, it really isn't that much different, except that I open myself to really being a vessel of hearing who they are, both what they express to me and what is unspoken between the words that they express to me as I'm speaking to them, and what their immediate goal or intention is. So for someone, it could have something to do with their work, their business. It could have something to do with an emotional issue or a relationship. But I find what is important, and a lot of what I do is help coach someone in discovering what really is important. And as you know, a lot of times something comes up that they had not a clue of prior.
Oh, in fact, more often than not, it's what is often not said, or what we mine between the lines of what they say or what they write, where the real core lies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Ishel, you know, your early career experiences, I know you were a fashion model and very much involved in the media and exposure. The healing arts aspect, or even your becoming in the natural botanical kingdom side of it, where did this all come from? Was this something you took advantage of in your own life process, or is it something you got exposed to through, you know, outside looking in type experiences?
Both. When I was in France and modeling in Europe, even though I was right in the midst of Paris, and I wore Opium by Yves Saint Laurent in the early 70s when I went over to France. But even though I was right in the middle of that, I spent a great deal of time in Provence before I went to Paris. And really then was exposed to the natural perfumes and lavenders specifically, but the naturals. When I was in my teens in the late 60s, and of course patchouli was all the rage, you know, so I grew up in that kind of atmosphere in Southern California and wearing a lot of naturals then. So there was that interest from there, and then the healing aspects, my nature is to constantly be exploring who I am and, in a sense, reinventing myself.
Yeah.
And sloughing off what isn't serving me anymore, you know, emotions and thoughts and ideas, or sometimes it can be even indoctrinations, things that we grow up with, whether it's through our friends or family, and maybe it's a mindset or a thought or a pattern, a way of thinking of something that isn't really serving anymore.
Ishel, then, could you share with us a couple stories of real maybe transformations that you've watched your clients go through, and whether that be in a short period of time or a longer journey that they follow through with complementing the healing arts in their exploration?
I think the most interesting, everything is so fast-paced right now when we truly set our intention to seek an answer to something or to make something different in our lives, the change that we're seeking can happen almost immediately. And one client, for example, I remember several years ago, she owned a hair salon and was a single mom and really struggling financially to have her children live happily. She lived in a rented house, and one of the things that she said to me is she wanted to own her own home within a month. And so the part of me who is the healer and opens up to that whenever I work with someone supported that completely, helped her with the meditations that come up. I do my intuition and my own meditations, and I come up with a personal fragrance that is for that moment in time to assist her or the individual over the speed bumps. And after the session, and she and I were talking about it, my human mind said, oh my gosh, you know, that's a tall order.
Sure, exactly.
You know, how in the world is that going to happen? And she got a phone call a week later from her in-laws, and they were gifting her with a house.
My goodness.
And she hadn't spoken to them for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
So that one, you know, sometimes it surprises me, but what it does, even in my own life when I have surprises, is it just gives me confirmation that this really works, you know, whether we're talking about, you know, living in the now or anything that has become more mainstream to even discuss these days. It really is part of our life. It is part of our spiritual responsibility, which was a beautiful way of it being expressed to me just recently in some work that I was doing with myself, you know, that you can be responsible physically, materially, emotionally, but it's your spiritual responsibility to grow, to evolve, and to live the kind of life that you love and that you dream of, and one that's based in joy.
Which is really a tall order many times, one would say, particularly in this day and age with the amount of distress that we feel around the world as well as in our own day in and day out lives.
Mm-hmm.
The work that you've done then in complementing with the scents and the aromatherapy or the botanicals and the natural form of it, do you feel, though, that isn't a mechanism, just like meditation, to actually try to help us slow down the pace of things so we then can be aware of what indeed may be right in front of our nose as opposed to something we are struggling and clawing to go find and go after?
And I'm not even sure it could be to slow it down. I think it's primarily a tool, like meditation, like anything else that's in the complementary healing arts that can be used as a tool to bring us to a place of awareness of what we are thinking or doing that is detrimental to our living the best life that we can.
Exactly. In fact, you probably really are saying to make that awareness then be something we can use to our advantage and
yes.
Look for entrance strategies, I often say, as opposed to just dealing with things as an exit.
Mm-hmm.
The actual products that you have then, Nichelle, are these products that you make yourself in terms of collecting the various natural constituents that go into this, or are they provided by people you have cultivated over the years?
The constituents or the actual individual essences,
mm-hmm.
I obtain from different people who I've had relationships with over the years, some are long-term, some are new, because there's all it's such a growing industry. So I get my oils. They're organic. They're wild-crafted. No one has a monopoly on this. There are some companies who I have seen who claim that they're the only ones who have organic oils or mm-hmm. natural oils. That is not so. There are many companies who work only with high-quality, healing, therapeutic oils that are organic and wild-crafted, and others who have a splattering of those mixed with essential oils that are grown in traditional ways, which could have chemicals. So, and then there's some of those same companies even carry synthetics. Okay. But I will work with people who are, as much as possible, who are getting them directly from the growers, from the field, from the different countries where they grow indigenously or abundantly.
And is there, are these from certain parts of the world for certain types of intents, or can you find similar products at a variety of locations?
You can find them all over. So, for example, you take lavender. Mm-hmm. There's high-altitude lavender, which has all lavenders will have a similar property, but there's what is called chemotypes, which means it could be the same lavender, and say the botanical genus is Lavandula angustifolia, which is the Latin name for one of the most common English lavenders. It would be called English or French lavender. But if that same, the same genus, the same botanical plant were grown in the high altitude of southern Provence or in the English countryside, or on the west coast of the United States near the ocean, they're going to, once they're tested, they're going to have just a little bit of difference
yeah.
in their chemical makeup. So this can alter, because I work with the energetics of the oils, even though I have pioneered aromatherapy for over 30 years now, and I began teaching the basic traditional aromatherapy. My heart, to kind of go back to a question you had asked, my heart has always been in the healing arts and in healing emotion, in healing the physical body as well, and seeing the fine connection between the two. So even when I was in the fashion industry, I had that interest, and what's just happened is I've been able to make the choices and decisions in my life to let go of fashion that gave me my life support financially,
yes, yes, uh-huh.
and go in the direction of what satisfied my heart. Now, for my own personal, I still love, you know, I'm a girl and I love putting high heels on and
sure.
I, you know, have fun with fashion, but it's not how I make my living anymore.
Yes, and because we know every single industry has its own other subculture or uber culture
uh-huh.
that may or may not match with your values, but yet I suspect that all those years of being part of the fashion industry, though, opened a variety of doors that you've been able to capitalize now on your new roles.
Yes, it has. And yet there's always doors, you know, new doors to open.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So,
well, now you had I mentioned in the introduction that you're writing a second book. Tell us first about your first book. Is that one that's been well received and picked up some momentum over these 9 years since it's been out?
Yes, it has, Zara. It's actually having a resurgence, it seems like, right now. Initially, it was of interest to a lot of people in the healing arts community. I had the launching party, so to speak, in London just after 9/11. The book mm-hmm. was on the presses in Boston in September on 9/11
wow.
in 2001. And they actually had to close down the printing company because of some unrest that had broken out amongst the workers within the company at that point because of what had happened. It was such a mix of cultural employees. But I was in London just barely a month later for early October, and the book was launched there and received very well. The beauty editor that you referred to, there was a lot of press. There was a lot of interest at that point, and it seemed to continue through within the healing arts professionals, massage therapists, polarity therapists primarily. And now what seems to be happening is individuals, because the book is written in such a way that both a professional can use it for their own healing, their own inner work or transformative work, or they can use some of the principles in it with the people, the clients, the patients that they work with. And now people seem to be picking it up for their own self-study. So mm-hmm. It's kind of come into that, you know, little...
Well, I think you're also seeing, like we know, as this really almost this natural awakening of an understanding mm-hmm. of this intersection of all these different fields, and whether it be the metaphysics side that you talk about, of the power of intention and time mm-hmm. travel and things wrapping around us, that there's a whole new series of awareness. And so how well-placed your book is and your field to come into a different way. It must be mm-hmm. a very exciting period of time for you.
It is. And it's exciting just because there's so much in my life which is opening into areas of what I have always wanted to have for me, too. As you know, I just got married, and that has been, this relationship really came after a 10-year period for me of being alone, and I shouldn't say alone, but not being in relationship. It seems like there's always times when we can really work with something that can be improved within ourselves.
Isn't that really true? Or like you say on your website, to find your passion, for only great passion sets your life aglow with intense joy. Well,
yes.
Yishal Lee, thank you so much for joining us. In fact, for our listeners, you can learn about her experiences, background, her books, and her products by going to www.ixchelleigh.com. So thanks a lot. Enjoy your balance of your wonderful California day. We'll be in touch again soon.
I will. Thank you very much, Zara.
And
you have a great day, too.
Thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.